Chapter 2. Nie Mingzi is both frustrated and reassured that Fanboy, who remains stubbornly nameless, is equally cagey about revealing his own identity, either his name or his face or his voice. He has apparently bought himself 15 cam sessions with an artist who plans to keep his face off camera and use a voice filter. It is tantalizingly ambiguous whether Fanboy sees these one-on-one interviews in terms of a professional artist having a chat about photography techniques and artistic inspiration, or of a nude model putting on a show for a thirsty sugar daddy. Nie Mingzi isn't sure himself which he wants. This is a lie. He absolutely knows which he wants. "Are you sure this is okay?" Fanboy writes, and Mingzi isn't sure whether he's projecting a sense of uncertainty and vulnerability, but he can't help reacting to it anyway. "Of course, you are an artist and your anonymity is important to you. Like Banksy," he says, with a winking emoji. And Nie Mingzi can thank Hoi Sung that he knows that reference. They had once argued about whether graffiti could be art, and at the end of the conversation, Mingzi swore he was never arguing art with his baby brother again. "Exactly," replies Fanboy. He adds a heart emoji, and Mingzi actually blushes. He is so, so comprehensibly fucked. "Of course I'm curious," he types, "but it's really your art I'm interested in, not your name or your face." What a fucking lie that is. Of course he wants to see Fanboy's face, but at the same time, there's a small part of him that's enjoying the mystery. While ever he doesn't see the mundane reality, he can imagine that Fanboy is, well, anyone. He isn't projecting anyone in particular, obviously, but he could, is the point. Because this whole secret identity thing is a kind of performance art that allows you to imagine whatever you want. Nie Mingzi shifts in his seat and abandons this train of thought before it takes him anywhere too disquietingly introspective, and returns his attention to more important matters. "I'm not very comfortable being filmed either," he writes after a moment. "Would it be okay with you if I keep my camera switched off?"
"That seems fair," agrees Fanboy after a pause.
"And English isn't my first language. I do find it easier to write than to speak. Can we do that?"
"Okay, this is starting to sound like you just want me to be an expensive camboy,"
writes Fanboy, and Mingzi freezes. His mouth is dry. "I want whatever you're comfortable with," he replies, at last, shaking.
"You donated $5,000 to my project. This feels a lot like you're trying to be my sugar daddy. Am I getting the wrong idea?"
Mingzi stares at the screen blankly, gripping his thighs. "You're an artist," he types at last. "I respect that."
"I'm posting photographs of me bending naked over a desk, fingering myself open, with oil sliding down my thighs. Not photographs of daffodils. The top tier reward means you get to tell me what kind of photographs you want me to take. You've given me $5,000. I think maybe you want me to be your private camboy in these sessions. Am I wrong?"
Nie Mingzi feels like he's wandered into a minefield. "I'd like to be your patron," he types, after a long pause and a quick double check with Google Translate.
"And tell me what to do?"
"If you want."
"While I'm naked?"
"Fuck," Mingzi says out loud, staring at the screen. "Fuck." "If you want," he types cautiously.
"Maybe I like the idea of being told what to do by a mysterious wealthy admirer. Maybe you can be my new muse."
Mingtwei leans back in his chair and closes his eyes, making a strangled noise. God, he really wishes they were having this conversation in Mandarin. Or in person. Or fuck. He slides a hand into his lap and presses down on the bulge there. Fuck. He's actually doing this. Okay. He types at last, rolling his eyes at how inadequate that is. They set a time for the next day, 9 a.m. GMT, which is evening in Beijing, and various unholy hours across the continental United States. He wonders whether the use of GMT means fanboy is in the UK. Is he British? It is the height of ridiculousness to dress up for a cam session like you're going on a date when you've insisted that you're not going to be visible to the other party. But Nie Mingtwe showers with care and shaves meticulously and spends a good 10 minutes pulling clothes out of his wardrobe before eventually, without letting himself dwell on quite why, settling on his favorite shirt, a crisp, slim-fit royal blue piece that Hoisang bought him. And since he's chosen a formal shirt, he picks out a pair of shirt garters to hold it in place, and the fitted black pants that go best with the shirt. But he doesn't bother with a tie or a jacket, or shoes or socks. God, what is he doing? He could just sit there in a pair of sweatpants, for fuck's sake. This isn't a date. It's just porn, sex work, scratching an itch, not whining and dining a sweetheart. He stares at himself in the mirror, and then picks up a bottle of Black Orchid cologne and sprays it onto his wrists and the exposed triangle of his throat and collarbones where his shirt is left open at the neck. Fuck, he says, with feeling. He says it again when the live feed begins. Fanboy is in his studio, wearing a white Japanese kitsune mask with red patterns swirling around the edges, and the silvery robe cinched tight around his waist, half falling off one shoulder. And his pose is attentive and obedient in a way that goes straight to Mingtwei's dick, like he's waiting for instructions. Like he wants them. Fuck. Mingtwei's mind goes blank. After a moment, Fanboy tilts his head quizzically at the camera. I know you're there, he says. The filter distorts his voice into something irritatingly shrill and artificial, and Mingtwei frowns. Why do you need a new muse? He writes, which is not at all what he was intending to ask. Why do I need a new muse? He laughs. It sounds odd through the filter. Well, sugar daddy, maybe my current one isn't exactly good for me. Mingtwe sits up straighter, suddenly alert. Does he hurt you? What? No, oh, that's unexpectedly sweet. No, but I think it would probably be healthier to fixate on somebody a little less unattainable. Mingtwe tries to imagine anyone not gratefully throwing themselves at this boy's feet if he wanted them. But perhaps he's fallen for a straight man? Or a gay woman? It occurs to him abruptly that Fanboy doesn't even know for sure that he's a man. But he does seem to be taking it as a default. I can't imagine anyone not wanting you. He types, and then immediately regrets it. Fuck. Still, they're both here, and like this, so it's a bit late to try to pretend he isn't completely fucking gone on this boy he doesn't even know. He seems to have rendered Fanboy temporarily speechless, and one slim hand cups the back of his neck as he ducks his head, almost looking shy of all things. You're going to be very good for my ego, says Fanboy quietly. He looks up. So, how do you want me? Mingtwei's head fills with images. Too many to count, let alone choose between. He swallows. Show me what you like, he writes at last. He gets the impression that Fanboy is a little surprised at this. Don't you want me to act something out for you? Some fantasy of your own? Show me how to touch you, Mingtwe writes after a moment. I want to learn how your body reacts, all the secret places that undo you, I want to watch you make yourself come, however you want. For me. Just for me. Please. Oh. The following 15 minutes are burned into Nie Mingtui's brain like a brand. He learns that Fanboy has very, very sensitive nipples, and that he likes the scrape of nails. He learns that he likes to talk, after a slight initial self-consciousness. He gets into the swing of narrating. And Nie Mingtui makes an almost feral noise the first time the boy refers to him as daddy. For a moment, it sounds too much like daga, and Mingtui's brain just whites out. Then he's palming himself frantically to a description of his own hands, sliding up under the slippery silk and skating over warm skin, tugging and pinching and twisting, while his mouth explores the hollow of the artist's throat and the lobes of his ears. He watches as the robe slides open, watches as it pools on the floor, watches as the boy sinks to his knees, fisting his slippery cock, describing being gently pushed down by strong hands that tangle in his hair, and taking Nie Mingtui's cock in his mouth. Mingtui is stripping his own cock with a punishing grip, sweat prickling inside of his clothes, and he can almost imagine the ghostly warmth of the boy's wet mouth wrapped around him, almost imagine sliding his fingers into gleaming black hair, almost imagine the stifled noises he'd make, yielding and eager, trying so sweetly not to choke, as Mingtui's cock shoves deeper and deeper into his mouth, sliding towards the back of his throat. Daga! The boy groans as he comes, his voice distorted by the filter, but still definitely not English. And Mingtui goes directly from riding the edge of pleasure to coming like a fucking freight train. Afterwards, shaky as fuck, Mingtui switches the keyboard settings and types, "You're Chinese," in Mandarin. The boy looks wrecked. God, Mingtui wants quite desperately to touch him, wants to frame this image. Cum sliding down his belly, limbs trembling, wants to push the mask back and see his naked face. The boy squints towards the camera, and then goes still. "Yes," he says in Mandarin, and then, "Fucking hell, you mean I didn't need to do all of that in English after all?" And after a beat, he dissolves into helpless giggles. The urge to touch him, to hold him, to curl around him and press a face into his sweaty collarbone and kiss his salt-damp skin as he collapses back onto the floor and lies giggling and pliant among the folds of the discarded satin robe is almost painful in its intensity. And that isn't something Mingtui can tell himself is just scratching an itch. He is so, so screwed.